Hello and welcome to Goblet of Wine, a drunken Harry Potter podcast. My name is Charlie.
And I'm Hannah, and we're two 20-somethings rereading our favourite childhood book, but this time with added alcohol and cynicism.
In today's episode, we are rereading chapters 9 and 10 of Prisoner of Azkaban with some fucking disgusting butterbeer that Hannah has inflicted on me.
I think you'll find I invented some amazing new recipes and everyone will love it, and they'll call it the Hannah Butterbeer.
No. So
if this sounds like the podcast of your dreams,
enjoy, because I didn't.
Love you.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to Goblet of Wine, your favourite podcast that two hosts are a mess.
Hannah's had a bit more to drink than me.
I made her have two shots.
Yeah, they haven't really done much. I think because
they were hitting a bit.
They were cake-flavoured vodka and caramel-flavoured vodka.
Correct.
Something like kissed caramel, was it?
It's kissed caramel. Because yeah. When caramel is kissed, it tastes wildly different.
I spend a lot of time kissing caramel.
Today we're doing chapter 9, Grim Defeat. But first, we have some thank yous to do.
Oh, shit, yeah. Shit. We do that, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we do first. We have a thank you to L. Lambert, sorry, can't read already, L. Lambert, who says our podcast is fun and has authentic discussion. I don't know what inauthentic discussion is, but I thank you for your review.
Well, really, it is, because as we have established, I've never read Harry Potter and I just lie.
Ah, okay.
And then we have another thank you for Beck McDonagall.
McDougall?
Guys, I'm very dyslexic and I've had a couple of shots. Who says, we are the sort of people she would love to meet in a girl's bathroom, unlike Moaning Myrtle.
Who you don't want to meet in a girl's bathroom. No, we're the opposite.
But I love that. I love drunk girls in bathrooms.
Drunk girls in bathrooms are like the hype men you need constantly in life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I aspire to just be that person.
All the time, 24/7.
Yeah.
Next,
which
thank
is
you...
why I drink all the time, 24/7.
Ah, I understand.
Yeah.
Next thank you goes to Catherine Mars, who says she is rereading each chapter as we do, which is, frankly, the best way to be doing this. We've had more and more people start to message us saying they're rereading the books per chapter as we do it, which sounds awesome. So thank you.
Yeah. And then the final one to Matt Lovesgood, which...
Thank you for that name.
Yeah, yeah. Who won the DragCon quiz number two. Very well done.
Charlie,
well, lovely.
What are we drinking today?
What aren't we drinking, Hannah? What have you done to me?
So, we are reading chapters 9 and 10 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. So I decided, in these chapters, Harry tries butterbeer for the first time. So I decided to make butterbeer. There are two rules to my butterbeer making. One, it had to be more alcoholic than butterbeer because, well, we're an alcoholic podcast. Number two, it could not include cream soda, which I hate with such a passion. It makes me want to burn buildings down.
Yeah, instead she's done it with ginger beer because I hate ginger.
Yeah, I didn't realise that before I bought it. And so... here's a fact for you. I know loads of people love the butterbeer that they serve at like the Wizarding World and the Studio Tour. I hate it. It's disgusting. That is not what butterbeer is meant to taste like. So we have two types of butterbeer that I've made tonight from two different recipes that are similar, but I thought of in my head. We're going to switch at the chapter change because two drinks is quite normal for us to drink during an episode. Mm-hmm. So this first one is ginger beer as a base with then a shot of Captain Morgan Spice Rum, a shot of caramel vodka, an egg white, and vanilla extract. Cheers.
If you want to see our initial reaction to this, it will be on our Instagram story highlight because it is so bad.
I don't know what you're all complaining about.
It tastes like, and not only tastes like, but the texture is resemblant of if someone had some ginger beer and then just repeatedly spat in it for like an hour, every inch of spit that they could muster. It's like thick and a bit foamy, like spit.
That's, we wanted it thick and foamy.
And then it's like watered down, like it's been watered down with spit.
I'll admit this isn't perfect. I think the beer, so the second one we're trying halfway through, spoilers, is a beer base with a toffee-based
and then
alcohol.
Because she's put egg white in it, it's just all separating on the top, so it's just got this really ominous clump.
The egg white was for the foam to make it look cool.
This will all be on our Instagram story because...
the egg white was just for the aesthetic, to be honest.
It's horrifying. Just go check our highlight.
Okay, do you prefer this more or prefer this less than the one they serve at the studio tour? Because I prefer this a lot more, but I hate anything with cream soda in.
I haven't had the studio one in a very long time.
Okay. I just know I hate it because it has cream soda in.
I definitely didn't really like the studio one. But also, at least it doesn't feel like something's spitting into my mouth. And not even in a kinky way.
Okay, you have to finish this by the chapter break because then you get to the beer one, which I think you'll like better.
Probably I do like beer.
Okay, great. I wanted to work out how to make a hot one, but I couldn't. I couldn't work it out.
Yeah, you would have just ended up frying this egg. It'd be like when you get a really scrambled egg.
There's scrambled egg in our butterbeer. So if you want to make our butterbeer, I'll put it as an Insta-story highlight. Don't. I like it.
Guys, it's so bad. If you don't believe me, we have Neil's and Sarah's reaction on our Instagram story. It's so bad.
It is not. It could be a hell of a lot worse.
It's so bad.
Anyway, chapter 9, Grim Defeat.
Grim Defeat. I love a good pun.
All students are sent to the Great Hall for the night because they've just discovered that the portrait of the fat lady has been ripped up by Sirius Black.
Yeah, and Percy's in charge, which seems super fucking dubious.
It does. Dumbledore, apparently with his wand, sweeps all the tables to the side of the hall, and it doesn't say this, but I just like to imagine that, you know, he sweeps them all to the side, avoiding all the students apart from one little first year who is just punted into the wall by this table.
And then that becomes part of the yearly death quota.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. So this one little first year, he's probably called Kevin, gets caught by the table, swept into the wall, crushed to death, and everyone's like, bye Kevin, there's the bit of the yearly quota.
Yeah, did you ever have the thing in primary school where, but was your like food hall also your like PE hall?
I never went to a primary school big enough to serve food. I never had a canteen.
What did you eat?
Packed lunches.
That's so weird.
Anyway, so tell me your story, because I went to a weird school, apparently.
Yeah, I really hope that everyone was burning with desire to know exactly about Hannah's primary school food
status.
Shut up,
you asked. Do you know you look really cute today?
Oh, thank you. Do you like the green?
I really do, but also your eyeliner, your eyes look super cute.
Oh, thank you. I really messed up that.
And I actually mean that as a genuine compliment, not as a weird thing.
Oh, thank you. I think you should keep that in editing, Hannah. Okay, that was a really cute moment. We're never nice to each other on this podcast. No, so...
She's blushing. Oh!
So we had this really disgusting thing where... So the food hall where they had like the canteen was then also our PE hall. So if you had PE hall after lunch, you would just have bits of like peas and turkey twizzlers between your toes.
Fucking turkey twizzlers.
I like to think that's what happens to them now, is like
they're sleeping with a turkey twizzler by their head.
They roll over and get like stabbed.
If anyone doesn't know about turkey twizzlers, just Google Jamie Oliver turkey twizzler and you'll understand Britain in the early 2000s.
Yeah, like Jamie Oliver is a Tory scumbag, but the only thing he ever did good for this country was get rid of turkey twizzlers.
I was obsessed. Okay, I wasn't obsessed with turkey twizzlers. I was obsessed with turkey dinosaurs. Did you ever have them?
They were fine, but the twizzlers would...
I never had the twizzlers.
So bad.
Okay.
Literally so bad. I really miss primary school puddings.
I don't know any of this.
You missed out.
Sorry. Yeah, never had any of this.
Anyway, back to Harry Potter.
So they're all basically discussing how Black got in. They're all confused. It's mentioned that all the teachers go off to search the different areas of the castle. And when Dumbledore and Snape come back and they're checking like who searched which floor, Snape says that Filch has searched the dungeons. I thought it was pointless that Filch is asked to search the dungeons because he can't do magic. So what is the point of him searching the dungeons? What if Black is down there and Filch is just like, oh no, it's Sirius Black. Oh no, he's murdered me.
Like, maybe that was the point. Maybe they really wanted to get rid of Filch. I just heard you slurp that.
I'm liking it less and less the more I drink.
Yeah, admit that you're wrong, bitch.
We learn that Snape suspects someone inside the castle. And this is our first hint of this. And he says...
They really conveniently have this conversation next to Harry.
Yeah, I know.
I love it so much. And then also it's like, why is Percy privy to this?
Well, it says that Snape is trying to not open his mouth enough to block Percy from the conversation. I would have just been like, Percy, go away. It doesn't matter that you're head boy. Go away.
Yeah.
But Snape says, I worried since you appointed blah, blah, blah. So as a kid reader, you'd probably like dismiss this, not even think about it. But as an adult reader, this would be your first hint that a member of staff is the issue.
I really, really, really wish that I could go back and like read this with a fresh memory and like whether I would suspect Lupin, because I think it's one of those things, and this is what Potterless has been talking about, like in his recap, where you kind of have the obvious red herrings. And obviously, yes. Lupin is supposed to be an obvious red herring.
He made the really good point about Scooby-Doo. It's the first person you meet who's nice is the person that did it, and the second person you meet who is suspicious is the good guy.
But what I like in this is that it's not like, oh, we're setting up Lupin, and then actually it wasn't Lupin, it was someone else, which is like how it is in, you know, the first book.
Yes.
Kind of first two. But that instead it's like, no, actually, like, it wasn't someone else, but it wasn't Lupin.
Yeah.
But actually, there's this kind of whole twist. So I really, really wish that I could read this again for the first time. Just to be like, would I suspect Lupin?
But I don't think... The thing with this one is no one could get Peter Pettigrew from this. Nobody... I don't believe...
Oh, no, no. I mean...
It's more guessable than the fourth book, which takes the rug out so far from under you.
It's more guessable than that, because I feel like you are, like... I don't know. Obviously, I wouldn't... You can't know because we can't read this with a fresh brain, but I feel like it is a bit like he's just brought up a lot for someone that's supposed to be like kind of like a dead side character.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you do get further along him being like spotted on the map and stuff. So you kind of can.
Yeah, there are ways of working it out, I think.
But you definitely like, I don't know, because I feel like I would know that it wouldn't be Lupin, but I do like that you have this character that just seems so earnest and lovely.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like, ooh, but a dark side. Maybe because that's what
you look for in men, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, he's really, really nice, but also seems a little bit fucked up.
That's my perfect man, says Charlie.
Yeah.
I mean, Lupin is bae, and I'll get into that in some later chapters. But yeah, one of my dreams in life is to have my memory wiped for a month. To reread the Harry Potter series. Yeah. Because I'd always want to get it back because the amount of stuff like Harry Potter has brought me in my life. But I just want a month where I get to read it again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would never want to lose it completely because I would lose all of, like, the impact that it's had on my life.
I mean, we'd lose this at this point.
Yeah. If they could be like, there's one, you get one franchise that you can start again fresh. And then once you complete it, get back all of your memory. I would be very torn between Harry Potter and Buffy.
Yeah.
Because Buffy, I watched it in a random order growing up, so I never got all of the massive plot twists that there are.
I see.
Like, never. At least with Harry Potter, I did get it once when I was young.
But I still feel like I was too young for some of the massive plot twists. Yeah. Like, because of the... Like, although I was obsessed with Harry Potter, like some of the huge plot twists I was a bit too young for.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have that as an adult.
But at least, like, I did have it at one point, whereas, like, with Buffy, I literally never did because I saw it in a mismatched order.
Yeah.
Our, like, next idea for a podcast when we somehow ever have time is Hannah's never seen Buffy.
No,
so we're going to do Hannah watching Buffy for the first time.
Indeed.
So tell us if you want us to do that and then give us money so that we can.
We then get a kind of overview of the next few weeks. My stomach is groaning so much from this. I think there's something wrong with this.
I mean, yeah, it's like someone's come an egg into it. And on the top.
I feel sick.
It's so bad, Hannah.
You don't have to drink it.
What if it's the Frankenstein of cocktails?
So Professor McGonagall basically wants Harry to be protected at all times. Like, he's being followed around by teachers. Professor McGonagall calls him into her office to be like, Sirius Black wants to kill you. And he's like, yeah, mate, I know.
So Percy asks if the Dementors wanted to help. And then he looks really surprised when Dumbledore says that he won't let them in. And I feel like this is, like, the first sign of, like, Percy putting too much faith into the establishment.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, taken aback. He's like, why? But why wouldn't Dumbledore just, like, let
And then them? He's really embarrassed when Dumbledore shuts him down quite, like, not aggressively, but quite firmly. He's like, I will never allow a Dementor to pass my school while I'm headmaster. And Percy looks really embarrassed.
And, like, confused as well, because he's like, but they're the government. Like, it's good. And it's like, no. Like, learn critical thought. Like, this is the difference between Percy and Hermione, that Hermione learns that, like, critical, like,
definitely
starts to question. So they start off the same, and then, like,
they diverge, not divulge.
Yeah, like, Percy doesn't develop critical thinking, whereas, like, Hermione does.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Perfect.
Whereas Percy would be absolutely fine with Sirius Black's soul being sucked out in front of him because, well, that's what the establishment said.
Yeah,
Professor McGonagall wants Harry to be protected at all times. Malfoy, then, in this kind of, like, couple of week long roundup of Hogwarts, says that his arm is too injured to play the next Quidditch match, which leaves Gryffindor to play Hufflepuff.
Yeah. Also, Sir Cadogan is the new Gryffindor portrait,
which is
fantastic.
He's the best. best character. Yeah. This is the first time Cedric Diggory is mentioned when we learn that Gryffindor is playing Hufflepuff. So it's nice that he's kind of slipped in this book.
I think you mean the spare.
So they turn up at Defense Against the Dark Arts and Snape is covering the lesson. And
unsurprisingly, he's a dick about it.
Yeah, I've got a lot to say about this lesson, but my first note is just page 394.
Okay.
So Snape is being an absolute dickhead to the class.
Yeah.
He's goading them all about werewolves.
He's being an A-class cunt. I say that because Hannah's going to edit it out.
No, I won't. And then Hermione tells him the answer to a question he asked. So he asked the difference between like a traditional wolf and a werewolf.
I fucking knew you were going to talk about this.
Did you even write notes about it?
I did, but I was like, well, this is redundant.
No, it's a discussion. We'll discuss it together.
Great, I agree with you. So what Hannah's about to say is how Ron stands up for Hermione, whereas in the films, is that what he does?
Well, I was going to leave the film bit until we get to the film episode. So yeah. Hermione answers the question for him and Snape calls her an insufferable know-it-all. So my first note is that Snape is the fucking worst.
Yeah.
Because how dare a teacher say this to a student? Hermione actually cries, and a teacher should never make a pupil cry, first of all. And it is literally Ron said. He asked a question and a pupil answered. Yeah. So get out.
Yeah.
So Ron then jumps to Hermione's defense, says, if you didn't want the answer, why did you ask the question? Which is obviously like quite a clapback. He gets detention. The reason why I focus on it so much is because the films changed it. But if we leave that discussion to the films, like, I think this is one of the moments that really epitomizes Ron's character.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a blind oversight from the films ignoring this bit and changing it.
Yeah, this is him being a really good Gryffindor as well.
Exactly.
Like, Ron, you really shouldn't have said, like, well, no, you should have said that, but also, like, you shouldn't have said that. But there's not even, like, a hint of, it's not like he starts saying it and, like, trails off.
No, he's literally like,
he just like,
whoa!
You're being a dick.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, it's also mentioned in the text that Ron calls Hermione a know-it-all at least twice a week.
Yeah.
But it's the same way as when, like, you tease your sibling. You're like, yeah, my brother's like, blah, 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 blah. He's blah, 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 blah. But if anyone else is like, your brother's a bit blah, 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 you'd be like, shut the fuck up. Only I get to speak about that person. Like, the same way if you're bitching about your mum, if someone else says that about your mum, that's not okay. It's only okay when you say it. And I feel like that's the same with what Ron is doing here. Like, he calls Hermione a know-it-all under the awareness, like, in this moment, we'll get to later in the book, but in this moment where he does really respect her and, like, understand her as a friend.
Yeah.
But it's not okay for Snape, who is trying to belittle her, to call her the same word. So that's one of the reasons why Ron claps back so hard. And also, like, Harry doesn't clap back, and I think that's important. Harry sits there silently. Sorry, Charlie's just distracting me by taking a selfie.
I look cute.
You do. I just feel like Harry doesn't clap back in this moment. It's just Ron who claps back, and that's also the difference between Harry and Ron's characters. Like, Harry never really is... Ron is always going to be the first to jump to people's defense, and that's like the Hufflepuff and the Gryffindor side of him, where he's the first one to be like, don't say that about people. He's always the one who's arguing against Hermione being called a mudblood by people. This is just Ron's character in a nutshell.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, that just makes it all the worse what the films did. But anyway,
Quidditch. So there's a really brilliant, I love this, Harry is up like super, super early, and then he's like just basically waiting for the day to begin, and Crookshanks is repeatedly trying to sneak into, like, Harry's just having to like get up
every 20 minutes, just be like, stop.
Yeah, no, because he's trying to sneak into
it would make a great comedy scene.
Yeah, just trying to get into the boys' dormitory to murder Scabbers. I love it. It's so funny. Like, I feel like this is one of the bits where, because we're reading in like more detail and for the first time properly in years, like, obviously we listen to the audiobooks all the time, but I feel like when you're listening to the audiobooks, you don't pay that much attention. No. I only do it when I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, same.
It's this kind of detail that I missed out on previously. Like, I have no recollection of this ever happening. And I'm like, this is gold.
I would, yeah, it's just a really funny image of Harry being up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, like, for fuck's sake. And then this Crookshanks trying to get in the dormitory, like, stop it. Stop it.
It's brilliant. It's really good.
But there's
also just like Crookshanks, so dedicated.
I know, he's dedicated to the cause. Crookshanks is the best character in this book. So there's a horrific storm going on outside, and Harry in his head is like, but the Quidditch match will never be cancelled. And it isn't cancelled, even though we find out this storm is fucking horrific. Yes. And it's an outdoor sport. Yeah,
there's lightning. I'm like, I'm sorry, they're on brooms.
As we discussed, there's no care in this school.
No sport is worth being electrocuted by lightning.
It really makes me laugh how Harry's like, Quidditch would never be cancelled for a trifle like a thunderstorm. I'm like, maybe it should.
Literally.
Like, he has breakfast, they go to the Quidditch match. It's going pretty terribly. He can't see anything because the rain is so bad.
Yeah, Wood calls, to drink up.
I mean,
like, glug.
Glug, glug. Wood calls time out, and Hermione appears in a magical Hermione way with a spell for Harry's glasses to get rid of the rain.
Convenient.
I really love at this point when Wood is just like, brilliant, after Hermione.
Yep.
I just like, Wood, I love Wood.
I kind of ship it.
But not, I ship it.
But in kind of like a sexy one night stand kind of way.
Yeah, not in a permanent way.
Yeah.
But in a one night stand.
They have like really like, Hermione would be really worked up over an exam, and Oliver would be really worked
not
up.
Not when
over
she's
Quidditch.
13. We're imagining they're closer in age.
Yeah, and like they'd both be really like worked up, need to like get out their frustrations on each other.
Can someone hold on? No, wait.
And
I'm gonna put in a request.
Yeah, but wait, no. And then to like de-stress, they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna like sneak into the prefect's bathroom," and then they go, and then they're both in there to de-stress.
You're turning me on. I'm joking.
Yeah, guys, we're going to need a minute.
Okay, I have my first request I'm going to seriously put in. Can someone write a fan fiction for us?
Please.
We will read it out in a bonus episode. It doesn't matter if you're not subscribed to our Patreon. Obviously, if you write it, I'll send you the episode personally. But could you write a fan fiction of Percy and Hermione? No, Percy? No.
Oh.
No. Oliver Wood and Hermione. What they're pent up about, they're closer in age. Change the ages. I will expect it at gobletofwinepodcast@gmail.com.
Send it to both .com and .co.uk. Just, you know, spread your chances.
Spread your chances. We will actually do a bonus episode on it. Thank you and goodbye. So then they go back on the brooms. There's a flash of lightning and Harry sees a black dog in the stands, which he's like, it's a Grim.
I feel like they could have just, like, I know that it, he had, like, but just a black dog. Like, his.
It's a really big.
Like, his animagi?
Animagus? Animagus?
Animagus? His furry. His furry literally could have been anything. And you feel like if it was like, okay, he transforms into a turtle, and the turtle happened to be the Grim, that you would be like, yeah, that's odd. I've seen a turtle, but you wouldn't freak yourself out over seeing like a large black dog. You'd just be like, I've just seen a large black dog.
I mean, I imagine it's huge.
But then why is he such a big black dog?
Because that's just his thing.
No, I feel like he is a normal sized black dog and Harry is really fucking dramatic and attention seeking. It's a dog. It's a fucking dog. Like, I'm just saying, he wanted, like, JK, he wanted to make this more convincing. Be like, and then Harry saw the zebra of death.
The zebra of death. So then he sees the snitch. Then a fuck ton of Dementors show up at the pitch, and I wrote a little note about so Lupin much later on says that the Dementors showed up because there were so many people there, it was like a feast for them. But I wrote a note, are they actually there because they sense Sirius? Because now we know that black dog, which Harry thought is the Grim, was actually Sirius watching the match. So, and the Dementors show up within a minute. So are they sensing Sirius?
No.
Why?
Because he's in dog form.
Good point. I'll move on. I was wrong.
I love it when she's wrong. It's my favourite thing.
Fuck off. Harry faints. He wakes up in the hospital wing, finds out they've lost the match. He also, in that paragraph, discovers that Cedric wanted a rematch. So at this point, we know Cedric is a good egg. I actually wrote it in my notes, a good egg.
But is he an owl, though? I actually feel sick from drinking this.
Fuck off.
It's so bad and my mouth is burning and I
and then we find
why.
Out Hagrid's Harry's Nimbus 2000 is smashed, then it's the next chapter, so we have to finish our drinks. 3, 2, 1 go.
Oh fuck.
Okay, let's make the next one. Pause the podcast. Don't vomit. We're back for chapter 10, the Marauder's Map, and we have another type of butterbeer. Just to let you know, the butterbeer we're drinking this time is made with a beer base. A buttery biscuit beer base, a Captain Morgan spiced rum, a toffee liqueur that was from like Poundland or something, and an egg white.
Home bargains.
Oh, this has gone low. Hold on.
It was £4. I really splash out for this podcast.
Oh, I'm falling. Is it better or worse than the last one?
No, it's better. And it was fine, and then she added more to it. And once again, if you want to see this, it's on our Instagram story.
We'll put it in a highlight called Butterbeer.
Yeah.
I added more to it because they told me it needed more flavour, and then they all yelled at me.
Because we were like, yeah, just a bit more. And then she put like half a bottle of vanilla.
Chapter 10, The Marauder's Map.
Yep, so we're almost halfway through the book and nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened, but the Nimbus 2000 is broken, and apparently it's not fixable, which leads me to the question... Does Reparo only do so much?
Yes.
What's the limits? Is it magical items?
Virginities.
Shut up. What's the limits?
Hymens.
Well, it's apparently broomsticks. Because up until this point, Reparo's repaired everything.
Yeah, I feel like it is like magical items.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I just want that explained.
I've just explained it to you.
Great, okay.
So Harry's essentially been haunted by his mother's dying voice.
And has no one to tell. He tells no one.
It's fucking horrifying.
It's actually... wait, where did I write this note? Okay, I wrote it in a bit, but it's just like... It is horrifying that he's literally realised he's hearing his dead mother's voice. And he's like, I don't want to tell Ron and Hermione. I'm like, Harry, this is horrific.
This drink, literally, it's like someone's... You've got a beer and then someone's poured a load of vanilla and toffee in it. It is fucking disgusting. It's like you've ruined a beer. You've ruined my pint. My half pint.
I wanted to do something nice for you.
You didn't. It's hard to swallow.
I wanted to make homemade butter beer. I thought it would be a cute episode idea.
You were wrong. You literally just poisoned me.
So Hermione is the only one to have finished the werewolf essay when they get Lupin back, which means at this point she at least suspects to some extent that Lupin is a werewolf, because part of the reason she suspects it is because she is the only one that did the essay and everyone else just... kind of backed out of it and didn't do it in time. And then at the end of the lesson, Harry tells Lupin what he hears when the Dementors come near him, because he says to Lupin, you know, I want anti-Dementor lessons. And he explains to Lupin that he hears his mother's voice when the Dementors come near, which thank God he's told someone, because like, I just needed him to tell someone. I was reading the first half of this like paragraph like, Harry, you really need to, I'm really worried, there needs to be more therapists at Hogwarts. Oh my god, you need to tell someone. So he tells Lupin. So Lupin agrees to teach Harry how to fight the Dementors, and then it's nearly Christmas.
Yeah, so he's like, but you know, go fuck yourself until after Christmas.
Yeah.
Lovely. I feel like in Defense Against the Dark Arts this year, it's just care for magical creatures.
Yeah, it is.
You know, they just do magical creatures. It's really weird.
I assume that makes sense. I assume if they had the same teacher for all 7 years, it actually makes sense to spend 1 year on dark creatures. Because then you do, like, a year on spells, on creatures.
It might just be, like, different, like, syllabuses. Like,
yeah.
This is the dark arts creature term.
Exactly. I think it does make sense.
It does. I'm just pointing it out.
No, yeah, it is a bit like, is this care for magical creatures or like, is this Defense Against the Dark Arts?
Yeah, like, is this on purpose or did J.K. Rowling just kind of forget that there was a different lesson for this?
So Ron and Hermione have decided to stay at Hogwarts over Christmas for the sheer reason that they want to keep Harry company, even though they've come up with different excuses, which is, like, the best thing. Like, they both have families to go back to. especially Hermione, who, like, her parents aren't in the wizarding world and she's gone off to fucking boarding school and she decides to stay with Harry. It's the cutest fucking thing.
Like, it's really cute.
Harry's found some good mates.
Yeah.
Then it's Hogsmeade weekend, the last one before Christmas. Everyone leaves the castle and Fred and George then corner Harry and they have this ragged bit of parchment that they're kind of like teasing him about. And suddenly the ragged bit of parchment becomes the Marauder's Map.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. So I have three questions or points about the Marauder's Map. A, why do they give it to Harry? So they say that they've basically memorized the map at this point, but surely the best part of the map is not like the secret passages and stuff like that. It's knowing where everyone is in the castle. And Fred and George wouldn't want to give that up because they know where Filch is the whole time.
So much. It makes no sense that they give it up. Literally no sense.
Thank you. I was worried you were going to be like, no, it's fine, they give it up. It makes no sense to me that they give up a piece of parchment that would tell them where Filch is the entire time.
Yeah.
So that I find bizarre. Number two, have they seen Peter Pettigrew on this map for the last 2 years sleeping in Ron's bed? It's a constant question, both it's been asked online and we've now been emailed it or tweeted it 3 times.
Yeah, I like to think that they don't judge Ron and his lifestyle and that they just think that he has mad game at 11 years old. They're just like, he's pulled someone called Peter. We're not going to ask any questions. That is Ron's business and we support him
age
regardless.
Age 12? You shouldn't be sleeping in bed every night with someone age 12.
But it's just sleeping in bed. And as long as they're also age 12 and it's consensual and they're just sleeping.
Who do they think Peter is? There's no one in the year called Peter. Random Hufflepuff.
Yeah. No, it's... I mean, to be...
It's a plot hole. It's a plot hole.
But also, would you be looking at your brother's bed at night on the
map?
I
think you'd glance at it once and be like,
weird. But weird. Okay. Maybe they just thought it was glitching.
Maybe. That's true. And then my third question is, how did they work out how to work the map? So you have to tap the map and say, I solemnly swear I am up to no good.
They just say that constantly.
It's just their phrase. But I'm wondering if there's like a few different phrases that open it or it's literally that one phrase. And Fred and George spent a year tapping the map going like, blah, 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 until they got to, I solemnly swear I am up to no good.
Maybe it was unlocked when they found it. And they were like, instructiony pleasy.
Instructiony pleasy.
Because that must be, because otherwise why would they know it's a map and not a portrait? I think it must have been like unlocked.
I think Filch would have been more worried if it was unlocked because Filch had it before.
No, but he was a squib. What was he going to do about it? Like, I like to think it was unlocked, so it was like in map mode. Filch couldn't do anything about it, but that's why he knew to put it in the like top secret drawers, and then they found it, and then because it was unlocked they could ask it the instructions. They were like, how do we use you? And it was like, say this.
I mean, we'll never know, but that makes sense, I guess. So they point out the secret passages to Hogsmeade. Harry goes to one of the secret passages and ends up in Honeydukes after like an hour walk. So he ends up in Honeydukes, sneaks up and Ron and Hermione. So he like surprises them. Hermione is kind of sketchy about the map because she says that Sirius Black may be using one of the secret passages to enter into Hogwarts. But Harry brushes this off in the way that he's like, well, the map helps me, so I'm going to say that no, Sirius Black isn't using the passages. Like, no. Then they walk around Hogsmeade and it sounds like the most festive, amazing thing in the world.
Yeah, no, like, it sounds amazing. Sounds well good.
I just want to go. Like, I know, like, the Wizarding World in America has this, but it's not cold there. It's in Florida. I want to go in Scotland when it's minus 10 degrees and I wrap up in a scarf.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's weird because I have, like, model snow and you're like, but I could see the sky and it's really sunny.
Exactly. Like, I want to go with, like, heaps of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
So they decide to go to the Three Broomsticks and Ron goes all red when he mentions Madame Rosmerta when he goes to get the drinks. And I believe, unless I've missed something, this is the first hint of romantic feelings from any major character in the books.
I don't think it's romantic.
Okay, sexual?
Yeah.
Sexual
He's
feelings.
He's like, damn, that's MILF.
But like, literally later on in this book, we found out that Harry's like, tummy flips when he sees Cho Chang. But Ron is actually the first person who we see like go all red and embarrassed and
get an erection under the table.
Yeah. I just find it interesting that it's Ron, as he is the most sexually backwards out of the three of them.
How is he sexually backwards?
He just is all angry when Hermione finds out Hermione has kissed Crumb and, like, ends up getting with Lavender just because he's jealous rather than... I don't know.
Yeah. I also just realised that I have a note that we miss where when Harry's, like, going down the passageway to get to Hogsmeade, it says that there's, like, 200 stairs that he has to go up. I would have turned around and gone back.
Done with this shit.
No, you didn't say there were stairs. I'll take the Whomping Willow over the stairs.
Do you not like stairs?
Does anyone like 200 stairs?
I don't mind. Sometimes I get bored of waiting for the lift at some underground stations and they're like, 250 stairs, only take if necessary. And I'm like, I'll do it.
You're a freak.
I do it sometimes.
Tottenham Court Road, is that the one that's...
Covent Garden has 200.
Oh yeah, Covent Garden. Yeah.
No, Covent Garden isn't that many. It's 167. It's not that many.
Still wouldn't do it.
I do it sometimes. Sometimes I'm going to wait for the lift.
You know when it's like three stairs just to...
Yeah.
In the middle of like a pavement, I'm like, nah.
Nah.
I didn't need to go to wherever I'm going. It's fine.
So they go into the three broomsticks and they get... Butterbeer.
I really wish that they hadn't, because now I'm having to drink this catastrophe.
I wanted to say here that I refuse to believe the butterbeer that the Harry Potter franchise has made up, that they serve in the Wizarding World and the studio tour, is butterbeer, because the butterbeer in the book sounds fucking magical, whereas that butterbeer is like some sort of cream soda sugary shit. But, you know, I tried to counteract this by making my own butterbeer, and it's also shit. So we've just got to admit that J.K. Rowling invented something magical that none of us can recreate.
I feel like it's some kind of, like, eggnoggy / Bailey's kind of... It's more down that line than it is
this fucking mess. They have whole bottles of it, so I imagine it is more easily drinkable than, like, eggnog. There's also the question of how alcoholic it is, because in later books we learn that Winky gets drunk off it, and that the kids sneak it in for parties, so it must have some alcoholic base, even if it's not very strong.
Yeah.
But I just love that J.K. Rowling wrote in like, 13-year-olds having an alcoholic, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I imagine it's like 1.5%.
Yeah.
Like, it's weak. So then McGonagall, Flitwick,
What? Who? Who was that, Hannah?
Hagrid. McGonagall, Flitwick, Hagrid and Fudge walk in for what I wrote as some well-timed exposition so we can finally move on this plot.
Yeah, and like, they're just being massive gossips. Like, one, this is a really random group of people. Like, why are they together? And like, Fudge, the fucking Prime Minister, is just gossiping about, like...
in a pub, on a weekend.
And kind of like, not like confidential, but about like... not really known, like, government information.
Yup. In a pub with a weekend when there's loads of students about.
Like, irresponsible.
Yep. And also, we haven't had much plot up until this point. And then it seems like J.K. Rowling was suddenly like, oh, I need to really move the plot along. So we find out through, and this is a common theme in the early Harry Potter books, the characters eavesdropping on some other characters, but this one is the most blatant. Like, Hermione moves a Christmas tree so we can get some exposition.
Madame Maserta. Madame.
Rosmerta.
Madame M says how out of character it was for Sirius to murder people. I would hope so. It's like, it really is. It's like that moment whenever there's been like some kind of like mass shooter or serial killer, everyone's like, I just, it's so out of character.
Just didn't see it.
It's like, well, no, it's not, because they've done it. And it's not like, oh, I'd only seen them murder three people before. So the fact that they've now done seven, it's really out of character. Like, no, this is not.
Well, no. I think she means he wasn't the kind of kid to be putting salt on slugs his whole life.
Kind of fun though, isn't it? No.
You're the salt slug.
No, I did it once when I was really drunk.
Oh, we've all done it once.
I was so drunk and my useless university housemates were like, because like I was like the mum of the house because they were all incompetent. They were like, Charlie, there's a slug in the kitchen. And it was like, I was like, between me and my ex, we'd drunk an entire, like, one of the big bottles of vodka. and we'd already been out before that. Like, we were, like, wasted. And, like, my, like, drunken dealing with it was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, why am I having to deal with this? So I just poured salt on it and then left. And then in the morning, really hungover, was like, what have I done?
What have I done? No!
Anyway.
But that whole thing of, like, Madame's murder being like, oh, I wouldn't think he'd murder people, is where we discover for the first time that Sirius Black was best friends with James Potter.
Yes.
It's like the first time we find that out. And then in the next sentence, we find out that Sirius Black is Harry's godfather. And then the next sentence, we find out that he was used the Fidelius charm and was the Potter's secret keeper. So it's like bombshell after bombshell after bombshell for Harry.
Yeah. And then they explain that Peter went after Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sure, that sounds legit.
Yeah, Peter went after Sirius. And
I wonder
then
if we'll find out if that was the truth or not.
Died.
Yeah.
And along with a load of muggles, and Black was found laughing. Which is, like, I try to imagine that the other way around, as in, like, now we know the real story, that Sirius is innocent, why was he found laughing? And I suppose it's because he's so shocked and horrified that his best friend is dead.
Or it's just one of those things that people make up. Like, those, like, embellishments. People are like, oh, yeah, he was laughing. Like, because we see so many times, like, at Hogwarts, how, like, gossip spreads and gets more and more embellished.
No, you're right, yeah.
So it could just be bullshit.
Yeah.
Literally could just be bullshit.
It could. We then learn an actual tiny little nugget that ends up being quite important. That
I really
Black
hate the word nugget.
Nugget. That Black asked Fudge for the newspaper when Fudge went to visit Azkaban.
Wonder if that will be important.
And then my last note was just poor fucking Harry.
Yeah, it's a bit shit for him, isn't it?
It's literally so many things.
This is why, when you're in positions of power, you don't just gossip.
In pubs.
Yeah. Like,
imagine if we went into, like, a London pub and we're like, ah, Boris Johnson!
And imagine if it was Boris Johnson being like, oh yeah, that Hannah Twigg's parents, they were betrayed by Theresa May.
What?
Or they were like, oh yeah, you know when we killed Diana? Yeah, that was a whole thing.
I mean, it is like we went into a pub and heard Boris bitching about how Diana was an inside job.
Yeah.
It's similar levels.
Yeah, there's literally, and they were doing it on, like, the day of, like, Pride or something. Like, on the Pride route. They went into a pub
on the Pride route.
On the day of London Pride, and then sat in that really busy pub having a gossip.
About Diana's death.
About how
Diana's death was an inside job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's like.
And the Queen was there as well, just in one of her hats, just being like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know who's next.
I mean, this episode is being recorded 4 days after we find out that Parliament is being how do you say it?
Paused.
They're shutting down our Parliament to force through acts.
Yeah.
So we're going to immigrate. Who has a nice country? We're coming!
Can
green
some
cards?
People marry? No, because we don't want America, they have Trump.
No. Someone, what are those nice European countries? Like the
Sweden.
Sweden or
Sweden's not the worst.
Norway?
Like anywhere in, like, the Netherlands or Scandinavia.
Yeah, I feel like Netherlands, Scandinavia sounds really nice right now.
So yeah, Hannah would like a nice European husband.
Yep.
I not fussy.
Man, woman, dog. No, I'm joking.
Wow. Not a dog. You know I'm scared of dogs. No,
anyway,
no matter where you are on the gender spectrum,
Charlie,
I'm into it. Just
we need green cards to get
not
out.
Not a green card. We don't want to be American. We need a European passport.
We need a European passport to get out of our country. So if any of you are willing to help.
We have many appealing qualities.
The alcoholism.
Not Hannah's cocktail making, that's not one of them. She's good at other things. I'm not sure what. Neil assures me there's something he couldn't think either. I'm good at
the fringe.
I've got a very good fringe.
Yep.
Thanks. We will wait to review all the plenty
as I
offers.
I said, gobletofwinepodcast@gmail.com. Email us. We're waiting for some marriage offers.
You don't hear back within 10 to 25,000 working days, then your application has been
denied.
Yeah, unsuccessful.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you want more of this kind of chat, subscribe to our Patreon and head to our Discord. this might be the worst ending ever.
Love you.
Love you, bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Goblet of Wine. To keep up with us in between episodes, you can find us on Twitter at Goblet of Wine Pod, on Instagram at Goblet of Wine Podcast, and on our website at www.gobletofwine.co.uk. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes or on Facebook.
Thank you so much to our producer level patrons, Sandra and Mark, for their help supporting this podcast.
If you'd like to support us, as well as gaining access to behind the scenes content and bonus episodes, check out our Patreon on patreon.com/gobletofwine. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye!